Now go with me over to Matthew 16 and look at verse 16. And then also turn to Luke 4 and kind of hold your place in these two openings there. Matthew 16 and Luke 4. In this one verse, the revelation of Simon Peter. And Simon Peter answered and said, of course, when Jesus asked, "Who do men say that I am, and who do you say that I am?" "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." That's the foundation. Christ is your firm foundation. What did you just sing, church? Shout it out. Christ is my firm foundation. And we know it's the revelation of the Word that actually is responsible for the building of the church. But you have to understand that Christ is not his last name. In fact, if you would have known him and his family growing up, he would have been known as Jesus Bar-Joseph, basically. He was not known as Jesus, soon to be the Christ. He was known as Jesus. Christ is not his last name. It speaks of the role, the position, and what God has placed on him. And today, if you understand that more than just as a name, just as something that's called, just more than just something you see on a church sign, it blesses your life to understand the nature of what that word really means. Now write this down if you don't know, but Christ means the anointed one. To the Orthodox Jew, to the believing Jew, the Messiah, but you have to go further than just Messiah to explain. He is the anointed one. But if you're going to say that he is the anointed one, you're going to have to define what is he anointed with. Because I can take today and anoint you with motor oil. I need to know what he's anointed with. He was in the land of many olive trees, but he wasn't just anointed with what? Olive oil. What is he anointed with? Last night I made some burgers and I anointed them with garlic butter. And then I ate them. I need to know what he's anointed with. Look at Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. And 19, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recover his sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, to preach the what? To preach what the anointing is supposed to do, and then also preach and expect the results from that anointing. You see, the nature of the anointing is in fact the person, presence, essence of the Spirit of God. When you read Isaiah 10:27, I'm going to read this to you first from the King James Version. Just say that with me, Isaiah 10:27. And as you turn there, I want to explain the difference here in translation. But the Spirit of the Lord is on me. And he, of course, is quoting from Isaiah 61. But even before that, the anointing itself is defined in verse 27 of chapter 10, and it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder and the yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. The first thing you have to understand about the anointing is it's the burden removing, yoke destroying power of God. If there's a burden in your life, the anointing is able to remove it. If there's a yoke on your life, some oppression, some bondage, the anointing is powerful. It removes it. How was it done? It's done by the anointing. Say it, the burden removing, yoke destroying, power of God. Say it again, the burden removing, yoke destroying, power of God. Other translations list this and describe this as because you have grown so fat. This is one occasion where you'll want to be fat. Say it, I'm fat. In the anointing. think of it like this. This whatever is burdened, whatever is yoked up, gets so big, so strong that the burden is snapped, the yoke is destroyed. Amen. And what this word literally means in the Hebrew is, you know, destroyed beyond repair. Amen. There's no utility, no usefulness for that ever again. It's been made void and null. I can't take that now and put it on somebody else because it's been destroyed by the anointing. Everybody, thank God for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. To anoint means to rub or to smear as with oil. We've taught you that it's God on flesh doing what flesh can't do. The good news is our flesh doesn't have to do it because he has something that will do the job, and it's the anointing. Say, God on flesh, doing what flesh can't do. It's God's super added to our natural. God never intended for you to live this life on your own power. He never intended for you to try to live victorious in your own strength. He always planned for you to do this in the power of the Spirit of God through the anointing of God. You, not just Jesus, are anointed. Let me just say briefly a minute, a little bit about the purpose of this anointing. Anybody who wants to understand spiritual warfare, the nature of God, who puts on, who takes off, how Jesus did what he did, all of these questions are answered by a scripture found in Acts chapter 10, verse 38. And I want you to get this down. If you get nothing else out of this entire talk or the ones to come, I want you to get this down. And when somebody tries to tell you something that goes contrary to the nature of God, or tries to tell you that God's doing what the devil does or the devil's doing what they think God should do, and on it goes and questioning God's nature and character, you pull this out and you boldly confess it in Jesus' name. Plainly, it says, how God, who? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. God did the anointing. He anointed him with the Holy Ghost and power. There's the essence. What was he anointed with? Not oil, not butter, but with the Holy Ghost and power. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Who did the anointing? God. What did he put on him? The power of God, the power of the Spirit of God through that anointing. What did he do with that anointing? He went around doing good. Jesus is anointed to do good. He went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed of whom? Jesus is the one that takes it off. The devil is the oppressor. The yoke doesn't come from the Lord. He said, take my yoke upon you. You'll find out that it's easy and it's light. It's based on a relationship. But the devil is the one that comes in with the yoke and the burden and the destruction and the oppression. And listen to me, it's the anointing that removes it. So you learn an awful lot about a solid theology of the nature of God by reading this scripture. He went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed, not of his Father, but oppressed of the devil. Come on, say it. My God takes the sickness off the believer. It's the devil who tries to oppress and put it on. And he goes on to say, for God was with him. Yes. Glory to God. The nature of the anointing here is that it's for doing good and removing things that don't belong there. Anybody have, with a show of hands, something in your life that doesn't need to be there? Anybody need something removed? No, your spouse is not included. You knock that off. Yes, amen. Praise the Lord. Come on, anointing. Come on, anointing. Pastor said so. No. The anointing is a specialist in removing things that God didn't put there. Glory to God. Say it. The burden removing, yoke destroyed, power of God. That's what Jesus was anointed with. But guess what? His followers are also anointed with the same anointing that Jesus was anointed with. And this is where religious people's brains go, because they can't comprehend that you would have on you what Jesus had on him when he walked this earth. But let the word speak for itself on this as we set this up, this message up. 1 John 2:20, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. Say that, I have an anointing. Now, I'm very pragmatic and practical. I'm a biblicist. If the word says it, I believe it. And the word says you have an anointing. There's not 50,000 different anointings. There's one anointing with many dimensions and aspects of what it will do. What anointing? The same anointing that's on the head, the Son of God. Say, I have an anointing. I pray that the Holy Spirit gives you revelation, because this will absolutely transform your life. He goes on to say this, as for you, the anointing you received from him in verse 27 of 1 John 2 remains in you. You don't need anyone to teach you. That's not a disclaimer that you don't need the fivefold ministry gift. But say this, you have the ability to receive revelation from the Spirit of God. Yeah. Let me repeat this. Our Wednesday night crowd hears this a lot. I'm a mouthpiece. I am called to preach and teach, but the revelation comes from the Spirit of God. Amen. And that's really what this is telling you. That anointing teaches you. Raise your hand if you ever learned anything in this church. Raise it up high, anything.
Yeah, I learned I don't like you very much.
Raise your hand and say, I have learned something.
I have learned something.
Raise your hand up high if you learned something. Number one, you learned it from the Spirit of God, not from a man. And number two, it's proof that you're anointed. Let's try that again. Raise your hand if you ever learned anything. Yes. Anything at all.
Yes.
How many of you have learned a lot and still learning and growing?
Yes.
It's proof that the Holy Spirit is teaching you, and it's proof you're anointed.
All right.
It's just one of the many facets and dimensions of the ministry of the Holy Spirit through that anointing. But his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him. That's the key. As long as you remain in the Lord, you will be anointed all the days of your life. And when I read scripture, I find out that the Holy Spirit's not only not going to leave me here, he's not going to leave me ever. It's about time you got happy this morning. Watch this. You're going to be anointed every day you're on this planet.
Yeah.
And then every day for eternity after that.
Yeah.
You're anointed forever. Smile at your neighbor and say, you want to touch me? Go ahead. Say it, I'm anointed forever. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. The gifts of the Spirit one day will be gone, but the gifts, the call of your life, and the gift of the Spirit, the anointing, is there forever. What an amazing thing to think about. The same one that comforts you today, speaks to you today, teaches you today, empowers you today, will be with you in 10,000 years.
Amen.
We're blessed people. He goes on to say this in Joel chapter 2. Verse 28 and 29, and afterward I'll pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. That's telling you that God will anoint the old, the young, the men, the women. And notice there was no third gender here. Even the prophetic scripture were taught about the mind of God and his creative plan. All the men, all the women in him anointed. That's the prophecy of Joel. You and I are anointed because we're the body of Christ. The head does not have an anointing and the body does not. The head has the anointing, and the same anointing that's on the head is on the body. When Aaron, of course, would, you know, anoint, when there was an anointing going on the priesthood, understand this, and when they would pour the oil on the head, guess what would happen? Psalm 133, the oil would drip down to the beard and then on to the clothes and on down. In other words, what's on the head got on the body. I got some good news for you. What was on Jesus' head got on you. It's on you now. Come on, say it. There's something on me now. Say it. I am anointed. Now you go out and find some religious people and confess that in front of them. Let me know what kind of reaction you get. It's impossible for Jesus to be anointed and you not be anointed. It's God's plan. This is not something that's new to us. After C.S. Lewis got born again, he started defending the faith and writing prolifically about the things of God. He was an amazing servant of God and not really even honored in his own country the way he should be. You can't even find a plaque, a memorial on Oxford's campus to honor this great man of God, because his intellect took him to Jesus, not away from Jesus. In other words, smart people always go to Jesus. Dumb people stay away from him. But in some of his foundational writings, he taught that God's plan was to make all of his people little Christs. Little anointed. Say it. I am anointed with the same anointing as the head of the church, Jesus. In Joel, in Acts chapter 2, Peter is preaching in verse 14 through 18. And he says, then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. They came out praying, speaking in tongues. And what's the first response that the people had? They're drunk at 9 o'clock in the morning. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? Can I help you out, charismatic, Pentecostal, word person? Can I help you out here? They're never going to stop laughing and mocking. But do you notice that the mocking didn't stop the church from moving forward? Do you notice that the mocking didn't stop them from reaching the known world at that time? People's mocking can't stop you unless you let it. But he went on and he said this, they're not drunk as you suppose, it's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I'll pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Say, sons and daughters. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. I confess that I still see visions. Yes, amen. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days and they will prophesy. The day you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you saw the fulfillment of Joel and what he preached in Acts. What a wonderful thing that is. Turn to somebody and smile and say, you are a fulfillment of prophecy. God prophesied about you. Yes, he did. The mission for the believer and the anointing on the believer's life is the same. Preach the good news under that anointing and do good. Come on, shout that out. Preach good.
Preach good.
Do good.
Do
good. Come on, say it.
Preach good.
And do good. Brother John Osteen used to say, preach the good news glad. If it's good news, you should be glad about it.
All right.
You shouldn't be preaching the good news mean or ugly or belligerent. Or telling bad news and saying the terrible things that God will do to you to teach you something. They misunderstand the nature of God. The anointing according to Luke 4, according to Isaiah 61, according to Jesus, and according to Acts chapter 10, 38, is to what? Go about doing good. Hallelujah. So Christ means the anointed one and his anointing. Say that. Christ means the anointed one and his anointing. Romans 12, 4 and 5, for as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ. Amen. And individually members of one another, we are all one body of Christ, the anointed one and his anointing. Say, we're the body of the anointing. Colossians 1, 27, to them God would make known what are the riches of the glory of his majesty among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The anointing in you, the hope of glory. What you've got to start doing when you see the word Christ in Scripture is translate that and then meditate on what you translated. Translate it to the anointing. And all of a sudden, you're going to start to see the import of what God is doing here. It's the anointing in you, the hope of glory. Listen, you've heard this scripture. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I can do all things through the anointing that gives me strength. Translate it and meditate upon it. Say it, I can do all things through the anointed one and his anointing, which gives me strength. After four or five of those times where you translate and meditate, you're going to start shouting. It's almost enough to make a Lutheran boy dance. Almost. To get to thinking, yeah, it's the person of Christ, but it's what's on him. I can do all things through the anointed one and his anointing that gives me strength. Galatians 3:27, for all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. Hallelujah. You've been baptized in the anointing. Translate and meditate. You clothe yourselves with the anointing.
Where is it? I can't see it.
You believe it because the word says it. Smile at somebody and say there's something on you. And it's the anointing. Said, I've been baptized in the anointing. I am wearing the clothing known as the anointing. And it's for every servant of God, men and women, boys and girls, amen. Regardless of age, regardless of gender, you and I are anointed of God. Hallelujah. Now, what I want to do here is talk to you a moment about when Samuel anointed David and then point something very, very important out to you about the nature of that anointing. Because even people who have sat under teaching about the anointing may not be making this connection regarding what the anointing can do and wants to do in your life. Say it one more time. I'm anointed with the same anointing Jesus was anointed with. There's only one anointing. And some of you are thinking, well, look what God did through Jesus with that anointing. Now you're catching on. Amen. In 1 Samuel 16, verse 13, so Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers, speaking of David. And from that day on, see this, he was anointed. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. And Samuel then went to Ramah. Say it with me. When he was anointed, power came on him. Can I tell you something about the difference between the anointing of an Old Testament saint and an anointing of a New Testament saint? It came on them, but wasn't necessarily resident permanently. It comes on you and in you, and it's there forever. Shout this out, in and upon. It's a matter of the mind being renewed. Understand that he has anointed you. Oftentimes we'll relegate the anointing to some good message, or my, wasn't that an anointed song? You're missing the point. The anointing is not for stupid human tricks or performance. It's for removing burdens and destroying yokes. And that's what came on David. David didn't do what he did with that bear because of his strength, or with the lion because of his strength, or with Goliath because of his strength. When he wound up that sling and he shot that stone, it wasn't the stone or the sling that took the giant out. It was the anointing of God. I'd like to know just how fast that thing flew once the anointing hit it. Dum Dum never saw it coming. Right between the eyes, and then it is over. You know, wherever you see the power of God manifested, God can do it again. I said, God could do it again. There's some giants in your life that need a slaying. Well, I don't have a sling and a stone. You're not listening. You have the anointing. Come on, say, I have the anointing. Your giant doesn't stand a chance. Doesn't stand a chance. When someone is anointed, it means something. And it should mean something to you. It means that they have been selected. It means they've been approved, certified, and endorsed. It means they've been established. They're placed and they're set in order. It means they're set apart or consecrated unto God. That's what it means to be anointed. It means to be empowered with supernatural ability. Listen, it means to be favored with open doors and opportunities. And it means to be commissioned. The anointing is always on a mission. And some of you are here today and just moments away from seeing outstanding things done in you and through you, because the anointing is there. It's just dormant in your life. Amen. Say it, I am anointed with the same anointing. According to the Word of God, we are the body of the Anointed One and His anointing. I don't know about you, but I'm thinking it's not just David that's selected. You have been selected. You have been approved. All my life, people disapprove of me. All my life, I can hear somebody say, you know, I'm always a person that's left out and looked down upon. God approves you. The anointing on your life proves that God approves you. Amen. You're established, just like David was. You're set apart. You're consecrated, just like he was. You're empowered, just like he was. Say, I don't know about that. Let me tell you something. You have the opportunity to do something David never could do, and that's lead somebody to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Surely you don't think you're doing that in your natural. On Vision Sunday, we'll celebrate the 10 souls so far that gotten saved through Netcasters. Give them a hand clap. Praise the Lord. And they're not done yet. One of the things you learn there is it's not about your strength or your flesh, how cute you are, and how well you can speak. It's the power of God. It may surprise you, but people like Philip, who started out as deacons, the anointing came on him. He was filled with the Holy Ghost and wisdom, Scripture says, along with the other deacons, and he went to preaching, and a great revival broke out. Do you realize today that you have the same anointing on you that Philip had?
Yeah.
I'm going to try that one more time. You have the same anointing on you today that Philip had. We have trained ourselves to look at people and say, my, aren't they anointed? How God uses them. Yay, yay, clap, clap, praise the Lord for them. All the while you're clapping for them, you have the same anointing on you. The difference is they're stepping out and using it. We celebrate the Benny Hinn's and the Catherine Colemans. We celebrate the Oral Roberts. You know, we celebrate even people like Brother Savelle, who recently went home to be with the Lord. But the fact is, the same anointing It was on all of them. It's on you right now. God give us consciousness. Say, I have the same anointing. Yeah, David was favored, but so are you. David was commissioned, but so are you. Say boldly, I am anointed. Do you remember the first time you declared, I've been made righteous? It sent off every little religious bell around you. I'm righteous? No, I'm flawed. I'm a failure. I am not righteous. He took your sin and gave you his righteousness. So for now, you can call yourself continually a sinner, a horrible person, a weak worm of the dust, flies in the face with what Jesus said you are. Said, I've been made the righteousness of God in Christ. Do you understand that today? Do you believe that today? By the same token, you start saying what God says you are. You are anointed. Amen. That's the 1-2 punch to knock out any religious person you're around. They'll love you declaring that. Not only have I been made righteous, I'm anointed. Glory to God. You know, you don't have to try to annoy religious people. That's just their nature to be annoyed. The same anointing that was on Paul is on you right now.
Amen.
There's not one for Jesus, one for Peter, one for Paul, one for Philip, one for you. It's singular. It's the anointing of God. Are you here? But this is an application that maybe you've made or maybe you haven't. And in the day we live in, we should certainly be focused on burden removing, yoke destroying power of God.
Yes.
We absolutely should be wanting to see that anointing doing good, amen, and seeing all that oppressed of the devil set free.
Yes.
But while you're confessing the anointing, confess a dimension of the anointing that a lot of people in this Western culture have let down. Start confessing the character of God, because you're anointed to operate in his character as well. Now, blow your top warning here in a moment. Because I promise you, most of us don't do this. And if you do, thank God for you. Because you're a blessing to the body of Christ. But from now on, we're all going to do this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And say, well, first I want to hear what it is. It's a something. And then say it. The character of God. The power of God. The nature of God. Hallelujah. Are you here? Watch this. You are also anointed to love. Say it, I'm anointed to love. That's why you shouldn't go around hating. You're not anointed to hate. You choose to hate, hold grudges, get bitter. But you're not anointed to do that. You're anointed to love. And I suggest every day you live, you start confessing, I'm anointed, and I'm anointed to love. You get ready to react. Instead, say, I'm anointed to love. They'll think you're crazy, but you'll stay in peace. Amen. Say it, I'm not anointed to hate, to be bitter. I'm anointed to love. Not only that, I'm anointed to walk in joy according to Ephesians 5. I am not anointed to be in despair, depressed, discouraged, put out, fed up. I'm anointed to what? to be of joy, to walk in joy. But those who are walking around all the time in despair, that's by choice. I am not choosing despair. Yeah, you are, because you're not choosing to walk in the anointing. Amen. It's called the oil of joy. It's for all servants, not just Jesus in Hebrews 1:9, but all of his people can walk in what? The oil of joy. Say it, I'm anointed. When you're tempted to be discouraged and defeated and depressed again, just stand up and say, no, I need. I am not anointed for depression. Say, I am not anointed for depression. Say, I am not anointed to be depressed. I am anointed to what? To have joy. Oh, I don't feel anything. You don't get joy from your emotional center. You get it from the Spirit of God. By faith, act joyful. No, I mean right now. Say it, I am filled with the oil of joy. Hallelujah. I'm anointed to love. I'm anointed to be in joy. And dear God, we need both of them. But you're also anointed to be in peace. I'm troubled all the time. Constantly feeling like something's missing, something's broken in my life. That's not what you've been anointed to be. You've been anointed to walk in peace, nothing missing, nothing broken. Come on, say, I've been anointed to walk in peace, nothing missing, nothing broken. If you're walking around in turmoil, if you're walking around in anything less than God's peace, his perfect peace that you get from having your mind stayed on him, and, amen, great peace have they who love your law, and nothing can make them stumble. 119, 165. You're choosing to, because you're anointed to be at peace. Well, if you were dealing with the storm I'm dealing with, you wouldn't have any peace either. Your peace isn't based on your circumstances. Your peace is based on your relationship with Christ. And guess what? He doesn't have any turmoil in him. He doesn't put up with the storms. He rebukes the storms. Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. Say it. I'm anointed to love, to walk in joy, to walk in peace. I'm also anointed to be patient. I hear it so loud. Pastor, just move on down the line. Well, Lord, don't ever pray, Lord, give me patience, because you know he'll put you through the ringer. Let me help you out here. You don't have to be put through the ringer to develop patience. That's right. Patience is a function of the anointing, and the anointing is on you. You're anointed to be patient.
That's right.
When somebody gets on your last nerve, like next time, I mean your very last nerve, just stop and say, I'm not anointed to take their head off. I am anointed, amen, to be patient. Yes, amen. And we have all been there. Anybody here ever had a fit of flesh? Anybody else? And here's the truth. You and I chose it. You are not anointed for a fit of flesh. That was a decision that you made. And what was the fruit from that? Was it good? Was it edifying? Did it bless people to see your fit of flesh when they could have seen the anointing?
That's good.
I don't understand how patient that person is. Yeah, because they understand that it's an anointing. God on flesh doing what flesh can't do. And some of these people will challenge that notion in your life. Let's just see if that anointing for patience actually works. Amen. I mean, it works. Yes, amen. Say it, I'm anointed.
I'm anointed.
For love. For joy. For peace. For patience. Say, I'm anointed
to
be patient. Now turn to your neighbor and smile and say, I'm anointed to be patient with you. Because you know that's where you're going to have to practice it the most. Amen. And your marriage, that's your first line of being anointed for patience. Notice how I turn this into a marriage seminar.
I like it.
You know the problem with messages like this? Spouses go home and say, did you hear what that pastor said? He said you're anointed for patience, so knock it off. Before I knock you off. Say, anointed.
Anointed.
For patience. Yes, you are. But you're also anointed to be kind. Aren't you so glad you came today? Yeah. See, you're all fired up about power of God, amen. Yeah. Casting out devils and raising the dead and healing the sick with the anointing. Oh, glory to God. Anointed to be kind. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for the revelation. Praise the Lord. But you're anointed to be kind. Yeah.
Amen.
When you get transferred 15 times on the telephone and each one of them speaks worse English than the one before, kind. Everybody say it, kind.
Kind.
Who knows if they're in the Philippines or where they are, India. If you do this enough, you can kind of determine where they are based on dialect. And sometimes just for fun, I'll just ask them, are you from such? Oh, yes, I am. Thank you. Come on now. Be honest. Your name's really not Marty. Your name's not Marty. Just tell me what your real name is. Kind. I just can't be kind. That person is so horrible. They're so terrible. They just so do so many things. They talk ugly about my back. You know, they stab me in the back. They're disloyal. I just can't be kind. In your flesh, but you're anointed to be kind. Do you see what's going on here? Is God has given us a supernatural endowment that takes away our excuses.
That's right.
They start treating me right, I'll be kind. No, you're anointed to be kind. That's why there ought to be an awful lot of kindness in the body of Christ, period.
Amen.
Amen. Either there's a lack of revelation of this, or people just choose not to be. But say, I'm anointed to be kind. Say, I'm anointed to be kind. You're also anointed to be good. If you don't believe that, go back to Acts chapter 10, verse 30, how he went around doing good and healing all who are oppressed of the devil. Say, I'm anointed to be good, to do good, to operate in the nature of God. Well, I just can't be good. Oh, yeah, you can. You're anointed to be good. Something just comes on me and I just have to be bad. Doing stupid stuff. You're not anointed to do stupid stuff. Say, I'm not anointed to do stupid stuff. I choose to do stupid stuff. There's a big difference here. To do good. Say it, I'm anointed. Everywhere you go. To do good. How he went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. For God was what? Was with him. Say it, I'm also anointed to be faithful. I just can't be faithful in that situation. Those people. Lord, that woman thou hast given me. You're not called to be faithful in your own strength. You're anointed to be faithful. You're anointed so that someone can count on you. You're anointed so that somebody can rely on you. Say, I've been anointed to be faithful. Not faithless, not compromising, undependable. Amen. Say what you're going to do and do what you say. Faithful. Don't appeal to the flesh. Well, we're all just fallen. No, you're anointed to be faithful. When it's tough, draw on that anointing and not just your strength, your flesh. Amen. Say it, I'm also anointed. To be gentle.
Gentle
in our responses. gentle in how we conduct ourselves, gentle with our kids, gentle with our family. You just had to go there, didn't you, bless God? When we're not gentle, it's not something coming on you. It's a choice. You are anointed to be gentle. And all you have to do with the anointing is yield to it. Do you know what? Every time there is an opportunity for you to step outside of the bounds of Scripture, no matter what the temptation or what the enticement is, there's always a moment you have a consciousness that you have the ability to make the right decision. That's why in this church we teach you, you don't have to sin, you choose to sin. Oh no, brother, everybody has to sin a little bit every day. No, that's religion, and that's a cop-out. The truth of the matter is, you have the power called righteousness to live right every single day and to operate in things like gentleness and respond in things like gentleness. It is the fruit of the Spirit. It is the fruit of the anointing. Say, I am anointed to be gentle. Anybody here ever been overbearing? Over the top? Well, I'm going to get me a poster with the fruit of the Spirit on it, and then I'll be okay. Praise the Lord. No, not until you understand it's an anointing. And it's on your life today to walk in gentleness.
That's good.
I love what the kids are getting over there in young people's class, because Juliana comes out every single week with a paper spouting the fruit of the Spirit. She can confess them better than most of y'all in here. Amen. It's a wonderful thing. Hallelujah. And excited about it. Say, I'm excited about it. Come on, tell your face, I'm excited. About being kind all the time. Gentle all the time. Patient all the time. Because guess what? The anointing is the same all the time. Mm-hmm. Amen. And you are anointed to be a person of self-control. By self-control, empowered by the Holy Spirit, I'm anointed to be able to say no to things. To corral your dreams, your visions, your ideas, amen, your desires, to absolutely walk with Him, amen. With that anointing, you're going to have greater self-control than you ever had before. Amen. Say, I'm anointed. It's just not some book of the Bible. It's not just some teaching on the fruit of the Spirit. You actually have that on you now. Smile. Are you ready? You and I are 100% without any excuse. Before, you can kind of play around with this. Well, I'm a work in progress. I don't know. The anointing is there every single day. You get up with the anointing. So you can get up on the right side of the bed. Some of y'all are morning people. Some of y'all are evening people. Some of you aren't either morning or evening people. But see, you give yourself license because you think this is a natural thing. In reality, the anointing is supernatural. God's power, amen. God on flesh doing what flesh can't do. Say, Christ is not His last name. It means the anointed one. And His anointing. I am anointed with the same Spirit, with the same anointing that Jesus had. I can see the same results as Jesus, as Peter, as Paul, as Philip, but I also need to have the same character. Yes, amen. So smile and say, I'm anointed to love. I'm anointed to be joyful. I'm anointed to be what? Peaceful. I'm anointed to be what?
Patient.
I'm anointed to be what?
Kind.
I'm anointed to be what?
Faithful.
I'm anointed to be what?
Good.
I'm anointed to be what?
Gentle.
I'm anointed to be what?
Self-control.
To be a person of self-control. Amen.
I'm so glad I came today.
You should be, because you realize that even though we're without excuse, we're not without power. Amen. Would you bow your heads for just a moment as the musicians return? We're going to talk more about the anointing and how to develop it and cultivate it in your life in the next session, but supply the things that God is talking to us about. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. He's so good, isn't he, church? You're here today and you've never given your life to Christ. You understand that he is the way, the truth, and the life, but there's just something between you and God today as it stands. You're not going to pretend that everything's okay when it's not. You're not going to lie or deceive yourself. You're just going to be honest about it. You know you're not where you're supposed to be. What a wonderful day just to turn your life back over to him or yield to him the first time. Because what he has is wonderful things like this anointing for you. Nothing bad. He does good to you. But you're here today and you know that things aren't right between you and the Lord. Just lift your hand right now. I want to pray for you. Make that your declaration. I want to get right with him. Lift it up high and say, that's me. Today, I get right with the Lord. Amen. Others here today, you know that God's power is real. His expectations are high. Maybe as you reflect on the anointing, you understand that it's the power of God. But today, the Lord is talking to you about the fact that it's also the character of God. How many with raised hands say, you know what, you could do a better job of yielding to the Holy Spirit when it comes to the fruit of the Spirit. Just lift your hand. We're going to pray over this. I understand that I'm anointed, but oftentimes I choose just the opposite. This is a new day for me. I pray this with me out loud. Say, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I recognize in our lives we don't have to, but we sin. And I thank you today that for that sin, there is forgiveness. I say what you say about it. I repent of it. I ask you to forgive me and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. I believe in my heart God raised Jesus from the dead after suffering for my sin. I say with my mouth, Jesus is Lord. And confession is made unto you salvation. But Lord, as a child of God, with some understanding of the anointing, I understand it's God on flesh doing what flesh can't do. It's the power of God. It's the wisdom of God. It's the power of God to change lives, including mine. But it's also the character of God. From now on, I refuse to see the fruit of the Spirit as something I can't attain because it's already on me. I just need to yield to it. From now on, I confess every day that I am anointed. Say it boldly, church. I am anointed. I'm anointed to walk in the fruit of the Spirit. I am empowered to love. I'm empowered to walk in peace. I'm empowered to operate in joy. I'm empowered to be patient. I'm empowered to be kind. I'm empowered to be good. I'm empowered to be faithful. I'm empowered to have self-control. So every day from now on, I draw on that anointing for me to walk in the character of God without ceasing. And I declare it, I believe it, I receive it in Jesus' name. Now, I just want to say one thing for you. And we'll release you to walk out of here blessed. A long time ago, I started to understand that if there's a call on somebody's life, there's an anointing to do that. How many of you believe there's a genuine anointing to teach and to preach or to lead somebody into worship, whatever the case may be? And there's an anointing to lead and to guide and to tend, all the things that a shepherd is called to do. It's not just do this in your flesh. I promise you this, you don't know, so I'll just tell you outright, you can't pastor in the flesh. You can't do it. So with that call comes an anointing. And so years back, I started this practice of putting my faith and my preaching to practice more in my own life, that I can have what I say. There's life and death in the power of the tongue. And I would go around before I'd step out to minister or deal with somebody in a crisis. I'm anointed to preach, anointed to teach, anointed to lead, anointed to guide. And I can't explain it to you. In doing that, something rises up every single time. Something rises up every single time to empower me to do the very thing that I'm called and anointed to do. And I want you to apply this in your life, that you are anointed to do the same things that have been done. You're anointed for all the things we mentioned that came on. David said, I'm anointed just like that. But every day, start declaring. Go right through the fruit of the Spirit every single day. You don't have it memorized, that's fine. Just open up your Bible and go through it and say, I am anointed to love. Come on, shout that out. I am anointed to love. That's different than saying, well, I'm going to try to love. I'm anointed to walk in joy. How about no more down days? How about the devil do his best, but his best isn't good enough? Because your joy is not based on what happened to you. Your joy is based on your declaration that the joy of the Lord is your strength. How about that? You see, if the devil can't control your confession, he can't control you. And every day, say every day, I start confessing these forces over my life. Stand to your feet and give him a hand clap and thank him.